We'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 29. Hear the word of the Lord. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Evildoers are snared by their own sin, but the righteous shout for joy and are glad. Join me as we pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight and ask that you would come and visit us, that the risen Christ, the one who is the living Word of God, who filled your servant Solomon to write these things, that he would be here, that Christ would be here among his people, applying these truths to our lives and our hearts. Use me, your servant, O Lord. May Christ be honored in this place tonight and your people built up, and those who have yet to believe, that you bring them to saving faith. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin tonight, there is an outline that's on the back of your evening order of worship, and you're welcome to use that to take notes or follow along. I want to address tonight the very real connection between your spiritual health and your physical health. I need to say from the start that I'm not a mental health professional. Sometimes there are mental health issues which are way beyond the scope of what I'll say tonight. I have a lot of involvement with people who've had mental health issues. I know that the brain is an organ, and sometimes that organ is sick. And so I'm not speaking about those who have particularly mental health issues, although all of these things that we'll be looking at tonight from God's Word are also a blessing to those who have mental health issues. They cannot heal a damaged brain or a brain that needs other kinds of medication. But I think you'll find encouragement no matter where you are tonight or who you know that may have mental health issues. The one with the healthy brain, the one who's not been wounded or sick, whose brain is in good health, these things are for all of God's people. The things I'm about to say are not a hypothesis. This is not an idea that I came up with. You know certainly well, as you've been experienced from one time or another, you know that your attitude, your inner thought life, affects your energy level. Right? Your physical strength is affected by your thinking. Even your health is affected. It's nothing new to you. It's why you avoid grumpy, negative people at work or in your neighborhood. Right? You don't want to be around them because they make you feel bad. And you feel drained when you leave them. It's why you're drawn to positive, joyful people. Right? They encourage you. They make you feel good physically. They can even give you a boost of energy. Medical experts observe this long before modern medicine. Doctors often address the emotional component to patients in recovery. I remember reading one time about a Gallup poll measuring the hostility index in certain U.S. cities. Some cities are meaner than others, right? Asking people how they felt about things that made them angry. Loud music, supermarket checkout lines, traffic jams. There are things that cause people just to get angry or frustrated or annoyed, right? Of noise out there. I remember reading a story one time about a park in Australia that was having trouble with skateboarders all the time, so they started blaring Barry Manilow music in the park to get the kids to stop playing there, and it worked because they were so annoyed. They were so frustrated with this annoying Barry Manilow music. back to the poll, in examining the results, which actually had Detroit and Cleveland way at the top of the list, one doctor from Duke University Medical School said, anger kills. There's a strong correlation between hostility and death rates. The angrier people are and the more cynical they are, the shorter their lifespan. Doctors have known for a long time that cheerful people resist disease better than glum people. One doctor I read about succinctly said, the surly bird catches the worm, or catches the germ. But it's not just observable in life. The Bible says it's absolutely true. It's the way God made us. What happens on the inside, on the deepest level of your soul, affects you physically, right? It affects your body. It affects your strength. It affects your energy level. The Bible affirms what we've experienced in life. And these verses we've read tonight in the book of Proverbs say so, a book that was written by King Solomon under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, where the living God filled his servant Solomon to write out these truths in short, pithy statements. We know them as Proverbs. The Proverbs are actually an answer to Solomon's prayer. You know, Solomon prayed for wisdom. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Do you remember what Solomon said? Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? In answering Solomon's prayer, God gave us this great deposit of practical wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. Just as the book of Psalms is God's gracious pattern for us for worship and devotion and prayer, so the book of Proverbs is for the practical ordering of our lives, our priorities, applying the truth to life. The Hebrew word actually for proverb is machshal, which means comparison. And there are many of those that we read in tonight's list of proverbs, as one thing is compared with another. The Proverbs of Solomon address economics, family life, relationships with neighbors, ethics, work and recreation, responsibilities, speech, helping us, directing us on how to live wisely and godly all our days. Some people might wonder about the disparity of the heights of godly wisdom found in the book of Proverbs coming from a man whose life had so many blemishes, so many serious defects. But isn't it true that so many of the practical lessons that you've learned come not from times of ease and success, but from the fires of adversity? And so it is through the pen of a weary, repentant king that God has communicated this great truth, the very connection, the real connection between your soul, your spiritual health, and your physical health. First of all, the book of Proverbs speaks about the fruit or the results of a right relationship with God. That the positive spiritual condition has an effect on our health. Living a life where you're walking with God, walking by faith, trusting in His promises, believing in His word, knowing His grace, having fellowship with God, trusting in the grace of God to cover your sins, being clothed in a righteousness that is not your own. The book of Proverbs addresses the result of this kind of spiritual life in these terms, that it will produce a heart at peace or a heart at rest, a quiet mind, a joyful heart, a merry heart, a healthy spirit. This is the positive spiritual condition that's found when God is approached on His terms. Isaiah promises it this way. It's that well-known promise from the King James Version. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Or in the NIV, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. These truths from the Proverbs are speaking about a heart that's right with God, a soul that's no longer at enmity with God, but trusts in God's promises. Or a man, a woman who has come to know the Lord and found righteousness, which is by faith. That's what Jesus said. Come to me, right? All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. All of these verses speak about the practical result not only in terms of eternity, but rather the practical benefits today. And these benefits affect more than your spiritual life. There's a positive physical result. What's the physical result of walking with God? Well, it's a heart at peace, or a heart at rest, a quiet mind, a joyful heart, a merry heart, a healthy spirit, which is the fruit of one walking with God, trusting in His promises, or walking by faith. The positive physical result is this: a joyful heart is good medicine. A heart at peace gives life to the body. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. A righteous one can sing and be glad. You know it to be true in other ways in your life, right? Think back even to just good news that comes in everyday life. A phone call that comes and you're like, wow, that's awesome news, right? It affects your strength and energy. When you get good news in a letter or an email, your strength and energy is pumped up. When you get a test or a paper or a project that's reviewed well, when you see your child succeed or your grandchild, when you work on a project, planning and working and preparing and maybe fretting and it comes off superbly, when someone special pays attention to you, or when you hear that someone you care about likes you, don't you just feel like flying? I remember going to visit my godly grandmother Rice, my mother's mother. She was in a nursing home in Butler, Missouri, not too long before she died. She didn't even recognize me anymore, but she knew she should recognize me. She knew I was familiar. When I told her who I was and who Donna was, I remember her saying that she was so happy. She felt like flying around the room. She was filled with joy, she said, and enthusiasm, even though she couldn't get out of bed because of a visitor whom she knew she should know. So too, on a deeper level concerning your soul, when you come out of a spiritual slump or desert and your heart is filled anew with thankfulness, when you experience a fresh taste of God's grace, or when you just learn something wonderful from God's Word you've never seen before, when you learn a new song or hymn and the truths cause you to soar to heights of heaven, or when you see God answer a prayer in a marvelous way, when you see the Lord using you to be a blessing in someone else's life, or you have an awesome spiritual conversation, it has a profound effect upon you physically, right? You can do anything. You feel like, I can tackle any obstacle. I can climb a mountain. I'll take on any spiritual challenge. You're absolutely convinced, as our brother recited earlier, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, when you see God at work already. That was Paul's experience in that Philippian jail with Silas. Remember when Paul and Silas were arrested? They were stripped of their clothes. They were severely flogged. They were thrown into an inner cell with their feet in stocks. But what do we find them doing after midnight in the center part of the jail at the top of their lungs? They were singing, right? Everybody heard them. Their outward circumstances didn't affect their joy. Their joy came from inside. Even though they were bound in chains, they had the physical strength to stay up past midnight because their heart was fixed on the things of God. A joyful heart is good medicine. A righteous one can sing and be glad. And it's not only for your own heart. It's contagious. When you're around joyful, happy, content people, it lifts you up. They make you want to get up and go. There were a few people like that for the apostles. We've looked a little bit at Barnabas in our walk through the book of Acts. That was his nickname, which means son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph. He's the one he sent to Antioch, and he encouraged the new Christians to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. Philemon was another one that Paul wrote fondly of in that little letter at the end of the near the end of the Bible. Paul wrote fondly of this friend, saying how Philemon refreshed his heart in Christ. A joyful heart is good medicine. I think Philemon was a joyful, encouraging man. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. Secondly, the negative spiritual condition is also has consequences. You see, the book of Proverbs also speaks about the fruit of a poor relationship with God, or no relationship with God, or of not trusting in the Lord. Most of these verses we looked at, the second half of the verse shows the contrast or the comparison, or the fruit of unrighteousness or a lack of faith, of ignoring God, of foolishness. These verses, it's described this way: a crushed spirit, a broken spirit, a spirit wounded by sin, a heart filled with envy or selfishness, a heart of runaway emotions, an evil man snared by his own sin. Now, it is true that the one who comes before the Lord with a broken spirit and confesses his sin is lifted up, right? The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. What Proverbs is addressing is the one who refuses to look to God's grace. The one who's carrying around a guilty conscience, who's not right with God. The one who refuses to walk in fellowship with God through faith in his word. The one burdened with a heavy, heavy weight of sin and will not repent. The one filled with envy and hate. The one who's allowing sinful emotions to control them. The one who's broken and despairing of life and spiritual life. In that person, there is then a negative spiritual result, right? The Proverbs say, a broken spirit dries up the bones. Heartache crushes the spirit. A crushed, wounded spirit. Who can bear? You see, just as the joys of inner life, walking with God, bring a positive effect to the body, physical vigor, just as a joyful heart makes a face cheerful, or a healed heart, a heart at peace, is life to the flesh, just as glad rejoicing does good to the body, so too envy rots the bones. Well, you see how it's such a snare to the soul and the body? Envy rots you from the inside out. Bitterness rots people from the inside out. I've seen over my years of pastoral ministry many people who are bitter about things in the past, and it's written all over their face. Envy makes someone sick when the one envy is applauded. It's totally opposite of the way that God designed you. And not just envy, but all unconfessed sin produces sorrows of the heart and the mind and the soul, contributing to poor health of the body. Gloom and doom drives people up physically. It dries up the bones. In other words, it makes you bone tired. It makes you sick. And there's an example from Psalm 32 that we read tonight in our responsive reading, where David says, when I kept silent about my sin, that is, when he did not come clean with God, confessing his sin, he says, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. My night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You see, the crushed, wounded spirit under God's disappointment. Who can bear it? Peter couldn't bear it. Remember after he denied the Lord Jesus? And he went out and he wept bitterly. A glum, broken, envious, crushed spirit not only affects your own health, but it dries up the bones of all those you come in contact with. And you know that from experience, right? When you're around negative, gloomy, envious, grumpy people, it brings you down. It steals your zest and energy for life. They make you want to just throw in the towel. How hard it is if you have to work with someone like that in the workplace. Maybe you've been on a sports team or in a class or on a project and you've got one gloomy, downcast, negative person that affects the whole group. It can happen in a church, in the body of Christ, where a negative, complaining one, someone not trusting God or not repenting of their own sin affects the whole church. Well, lastly tonight, what's the conclusion of all of this? Well, it should be clear. Should be clear. I'll give you three things to think about. You can probably come up with more of them on the way home. And if walking with God brings positive physical benefits, if cultivating your spiritual life affects your body positive and positively. And if the opposite is also true, that a poor spiritual condition affects your body physically, well, then number one, watch out. Right? Beware of the schemes of the devil, because he hates you, body and soul. He's committed to deceiving you. The devil will do anything he can to produce envy in you. He'll do anything he can to pull the wool over your eyes and to dissuade you from taking care of your spiritual health. He'll do whatever he can to crush your spirit. He delights in crushing you. He delights in seeing you snared by your own sin, falling into a trap that he sets for you, wallowing in self-pity and worried and anxious and racked with guilt. With a crushed and broken spirit so much that your bones ache. He would delight in seeing that. So watch out. Remember, you're in the midst of a spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And it affects our physical health. Satan knows if he can wear you down spiritually, if he can cause you to fall into sin or tempt you to despair and lead you into envy and bring someone in your life to trip you up, if he can make you think there's no hope and no grace and no forgiveness for you, then you'll become unproductive and slothful and you'll feel miserable. And you'll feel like your bones are breaking and like you've got sandbags on your shoulders. And you'll be more prone to sickness and physical issues and digestion problems and body aches and skin problems because it affects your immune system. Beware of the schemes of the devil. A second conclusion is this: keep a close eye on the testimony that you're giving to the world by your attitude, your countenance. Does your face reflect a heavy, broken spirit, a heart of envy that rots the bones, or does your life reflect the joy of one who knows the greatest news of all? If you're a Christian, do you show a watching world that you think God is a hard master? Or do you show that the gospel is good news and you're overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit and thereby giving life to the bones of sin-sick sinners all around you? You see, this has an evangelistic element in it as well. We ought to be seen as a joyful, thankful, optimistic people because we have the promises of God. Always looking on the bright side, because God is good and he does all things well. And in doing so, we bring joy and encouragement even to those in the marketplace, in our neighborhood, who are surly and glum. It's an evangelistic element because we believe God's promises, that he causes all things to work together for good, even the hard things, the bad news. And then thirdly and lastly, if walking with God brings positive physical benefits, if cultivating your spiritual life affects your body positively, and the opposite is also true, that a poor spiritual condition dries up the bones, then don't neglect your soul. Don't neglect your spiritual health. Keep a close eye on your walk with God, not only for the spiritual benefits, but because it affects your physical health as well. There's a lot of people who think about their spiritual life only as an afterthought rather than as something absolutely vital. And there's people who only think about their spiritual life on Sundays. If you neglect your soul, you'll reap negative effects in your body. So don't neglect your soul. Feed yourself spiritually. Drink often from the living water, right, from the Lord himself. Make much use of the means of grace that God has given you. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, consistently spending time alone with God, meditating on the promises of God, attending the worship services with God's people where your compass, you might say, is recalibrated every time to remember again that God is on his throne. He does all things well. He is good and he's a God of grace who forgives sin. If, as we read earlier, pleasant words are a honeycomb sweet to the soul and healing to the bones, then shouldn't we be meditating on the sweetest words of all? Thinking on all the blessings of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that his cross has fully satisfied for all your sins. That he's promised he will never leave you. He will love you without ceasing. That his watchful eye is always upon you. That nothing can separate you from his love. And he's promised to work out all things for your good. And even the trials that come your way are to teach you. Don't neglect your soul. Cast aside the sin that so easily entangles your feet so you can run with endurance the race marked out for you. Maybe you have fallen into some sin like David and you've yet to repent and you're still dabbling there and you haven't fully set it aside. Oh, I call you tonight, put it off. Resolve to turn from it tonight. Do whatever it takes. And if, as God's word says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart and good news gives health to the bones, well, then come tonight to the best news of all. The good news that Jesus Christ saves sinners, of whom I'm the worst. I call you tonight. Cry out to God. Fly to God's grace. Come to Jesus tonight and live. Let us pray.